Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about crazy administration schemes. Doing this for a friend called Dave, but I won't actually send him this podcast because I'm in the hinterland of doing podcasts and studying things which are necessary for me to advance, but are inconvenient for people to stop and listen to. And I'm aware of that. And it really, I don't really gain anything from sending it to them. They, if they do respond, it doesn't really help them. So they don't look at it. So I'm still going to go into it. And the major reason for this is cognitive rehab, in that I don't get to speak to other people very much or examine things in depth, intellectually in depth. And so I'm stuck reading through Wikipedia articles and connecting, joining the dots, any dot around there. If I see any two dots, I will come up and join them. So this sort of stimulus for this is this island called Comoros. And it's off Madagascar, and it's an Islamic island with runaway population, reducing space, and it's sort of, it's almost filtered itself. It's become so horrible that any decent island near it doesn't want to be federated with it, preferred to be a part of a mainland France and stuff like that. So it's sort of really cemented itself down into its direction. How does this got linked to things? Well, it's got this remarkable situation that it's actually muddled through. After 20 coups, it's developed a system of government where 80% of the activity of the island, of the GDP, goes into the administration of its government. It's got various presidents, councils, parliaments, stuff, all for 0.8 million people, and if you can think of that, 0.8 million people, subtract the people under 15 who can't vote, you get 0.4 million people, and then after that you get even ridiculously small people. You get pretty much the same number of people as we would have. I think we get 100,000 people in Australia, it gets one member of parliament, that style of things. Even so, the amount of administration in Australia is in excess of requirements. So it sort of just is an opening ambit statement that if you leave things to themselves and evolve to themselves, they go through a process of coups and the solution comes up with these large, unwieldy governments. And if you're in teaching, you would come across that you've got the process of getting things taught. And in the process of teaching, there are these large, unwieldy processes where people actually somehow talk themselves into saying that they can see it's too big, but they can't, and they can see it's doing wrong, but they can't actually put their finger on anything which is incorrect. So what I want to do is go into a system that takes up a lot of people's time and administration. And that's the organisation of marks that you create, submitted from the school to the HSC. And this takes a lot of administration, a lot of care, and a lot of response and activity, which are not necessarily beneficial, not necessarily educational. It's sort of similar to the bureaucrats which must be in this small island, that they have to do so many things in order to make this system work, and it ends up in so many subtle ways perpetuating this huge system. So if you were a bureaucrat, you wouldn't say, oh, my job is to fix this up, as one of the major things. So similarly in education, there's no bureaucrat to fix this up. So essentially, what happens is that, say, let's take an imaginable number. Rather than 30 students, let's take 10 students. 10 students reached the final year, and there is some reason that we want to produce a mark for them to compare students at one suburb with another, one town with another. So in essence, you shouldn't be held back because you're from a particular area. You should be able to come up with a number associated with your name, and that number should give you a ranking. So just it's a practical thing that's necessary. So Mary from XYZ, my mark is 8 out of 10, for instance, and Jethro from ZHQ is whatever it is, has got a mark 7 out of 10. And the fact that they're male or female, what district they are, they have that mark. But that mark still has to be calibrated. So there is a calibration process, is that you get the two students and ask them the same question and evaluate their mark. Now, even that's a bit problematic because what happens is that the answer is a trick question. They are, in effect, trick questions. That is, that the answer is not the correct answer. The correct answer, the answer is the answer held within the system. So there's the correct answer and a system answer. And this then creates an entire process where you actually go down and actually, it's your ability to read the system and mediate that system and transfer it across. You become suddenly valuable. The moment you don't have the correct answer and it's a system answer, you create a need for people who can interpret the system. So you have scientists to tell you the correct answer and teachers to tell you what the system answer is. And in fact, it's a disadvantage for the system answer and the scientific answer to be the same thing because you no longer need the teacher. You need the teacher to actually tell you the incorrect thing. So one of the things I'm looking at is atoms. So the correct answer for atoms is that they don't have surfaces and the electron is bigger than the neutron and the proton and so forth, quantum mechanics. That's a science answer, but the system answer is that the atom has little hard nodules and free space and electrons whizzing around. Complete rubbish, fundamentally, logically rubbish. You wouldn't have to think of it for very long to realise that if I have a very simple equation over here, that simple equation has not got to do, that equation which we know is right, has got nothing to do with this over here, which is highly complex. But nonetheless, you've got this, the correct answer and the system answer, and you require teachers. Now, because there's this employment of teachers, and teachers need to be employed, they need to be required. And so it's pretty much like the brand or a reason to go to a restaurant or to go to a white goods salesman. There's something special extra that demands that loyalty contract there. So before long, you have a large fraction of our society producing education, and it essentially is teaching kids system truth, but not actual real truth. And before we laugh, ha ha ha, look at that society, it's over across in the Indian Ocean between Madagascar and Africa. They're spending 80% of their GDP and they're producing nothing. Well, I think we're doing a pretty much similar job of doing teaching activity and actually not effectively teaching our kids. It's just that the people over there would, in Comoros, would not necessarily get what you're saying to them about it could be done more efficiently. Similarly, in Australia, we wouldn't necessarily say, oh, look, if we just taught actual real science, we'd be doing a more efficient job. There's that reason for lack of understanding. So in this particular one, what I want to do is talk about this fundamental problem of it's a function that has to be done. You have to be able to for an education see that the most the right person fits into the right job. We've got some sort of grading process, but it's got to be informative, and you can see in a positive thing that you have someone who's good at soccer and bad at maths is not the person that eventually goes into a career accounting, or someone who's highly creative and artistic and does things instinctively different every time is not the sort of person you want as a heart surgeon, because you want them to be very, very good, but in a particular way. So there's a method to the madness here. So you've got this process, and this natural process to create a process, a way of doing a job which makes you necessary for the job. And so the case is that we've got to do this scheme. So what happens is that part of it is you do your exam, and part of it is you do your work during the year, and two processes come together, and you get two groups of marks. One is the external exam mark, and that exam mark measures a selection of things which are particularly amenable to examination. But things that are amenable to examination are not necessarily the things you want to educate people in. You want to round it all up. So you take an image of the exam mark and then put it into this other sector of your education, which is the non-examinable sector, in theory. But what in actual fact happens is that people use that section of education which is set aside apart from exam to do mock exams to prepare people as much as possible to the exam, so that if you're from a particular school who's followed a particular policy, the person's acting as a intermediary to their system explanation, and their system approach to education is to get you studying things, and so that they will produce a set of marks, and besides that set of marks, they will produce a system that you are well prepared to do that exam. So what essentially happens is that it becomes an arms race of preparing to do exams. So rather than actually learning about something, it's the learning about the truth. You're getting the system expertise of someone to actually train you how to do the exam as best as possible. And so essentially you get people who've got a love of knowledge, you don't get people who are naturally good, you get people who are very good at exams, and their parents are good at selecting schools, which ignore what the truth is, but can actually see through the scam and work with the scam, because there's no point being the martyr which works against it. So we got our first problem is that people tend to produce a set of school marks which replicate, in terms of content and skill, what would happen in the exam. And so automatically one would think that my school marks should, in actual fact, represent in form and structure what the exam marks are, because that's a validation. It is a validation if you are actually of the mind that you are there as a system technician as opposed to a teacher of truth. So the system technician, an ST, a teacher of truth, a TT, I suppose, like that. If you're a system technician, what you should do, what you produce a set of marks, does not tell the external world about those students. It tells the external world about your philosophical view on things. So the student who gets the best mark in the exam should indeed get the best mark under your tutelage and system, because you are producing a copy of the exam, because you want to produce a copy of the exam technique so that you can claim that you value added to it, that not only did you create people who can produce that exam thing, it is almost proof that you have done a good job, because your marking scale equals that then. But indeed, ideally, you want to have a system where, say, you're doing science in an exam, it's a pen and paper, and the other mark should be done, say, for practical ability to mix chemicals, perform experiments, take data, all this type of stuff. And it doesn't necessarily mean that someone who's very good at the reading exam questions and concentrating in exam conditions is going to be the same person who does well in this thing. But you can create an environment such as so. So you are actually imposing your systematic will across. But nonetheless, you have a system here that I have a spread of 10 marks in exams, say between 60 and 90, and I present marks, whatever they are, randomly set between them, not randomly, and then which has a range and a mean, and I produce a range of marks because I want to encourage the students. I say I mark them between 70 and 100 because the one thing I don't want to do is this psychology. I don't want to produce something unrealistic, but at the same time, I don't want to destroy people's, you know, people will read their psychology off. So the 100 person is a general mutual feel good. They'll feel grateful to me for that 100. 70 is such that it will not demoralize them. So I've got a 70 to 100 and a 60 to 90 range. And that 70 to 100 has got so many arbitrary factors. That is my district, my thing. I can give any range of marks I want to. So we have to actually convert that range of marks to the range of marks at the education. So what happens is that you, at the end of the day, get a mark for your exam and a calibrated mark for your schoolwork. But now bear in mind that people so far haven't really understood the fact that teachers think they're systems technicians, particularly administrators going down will talk to me, or systems technicians. And bear in mind that also you've got of the ilk of this Comoros, you've got people of this thing, that they've lost the track that perhaps the administration has become too large, too onerous, and that your skill is to actually justify your work, and which is not justifiable in the overall economy. It's not justifiable that I spend so much money and energy and stress and actually don't teach someone something which is essentially true. I teach them a falsehood. At the end of it all, it doesn't go. So they have the ability that your bureaucrat will become increasingly less and less intelligent. If they were intelligent once in the 1960s, reasonably in memory of the 1970s, by the year 2020, they are fully stupid, unfortunately. So one of the stupid things they say is that the way that I can produce I've got a set of marks over here, and I want to produce the same set of marks of the same range and same average. The only way I can do that, obviously, is by actually taking this set of marks only purely as ranking numbers, and then I reassigned the numbers across. So if my first, my 10th student here comes first in the exam, even if he comes first in the exam, he will take the 10th rank mark of the exam. So if this person comes first in the exam, he will get 90, but because he's got I said 70 to 100. So, say you got 70%. That 70% will be converted to the 60% here, and you actually basically ensure that the pool of numbers I have here, which generates a minimum, maximum, and average, the Paul of Marxago transforms by actual substitution, direct substitution, which is complete and utter bullshit. It doesn't operate that way. They don't actually convert someone's mark, your school mark that I receive here, to the lowest mark across here. And you can actually physically see that. So if you just look at a group of marks and you see that the exam mark doesn't occur a second time. So if there's a 66, say if they got 66% in the exam, there's not somewhere in your group of 30 people that you go a 66% corresponding to the exam. You can't do it. It's really obvious that it's not true. Now, regardless of the fact that it's not true and superficially obvious, it just belies the point that these people show you groups of figures continuously for which they have doctored the results. They have gone in and they have changed the marks, or they have decided, oh, I can't be bothered, I'm not going to have, this year I'm going to have no people with asthma, or there's going to be no allergies in this year. So you've got year after year, historically, three people with asthma in every class. Sometimes there might be two, sometimes there might be five, mean standard deviation, and they show you a class and there is no person with asthma around. Well, you check it and you go into the class, you say, oh, well, who here has got asthma? And the hands go up, two or three people, and it's indeed that this result hasn't come through. And the you go back and you say, look, I think there is a fundamental safety issue here. You're not doing the correct things here. And the immediately thing is that one of the things you don't realise is that having not done the right thing, they're not going to suddenly go, oh, mea culpa, you're right, you can go up. Not that you're saying that for your own personal benefit, you're only saying it for your benefit to actually protect kids in your class with asthma. But the theory is, oh, no, look, let's just get really angry at this person. But let's go back to the same point. They've got the scheme where I've got a set of 10 marks and I use those 10 marks as an ordering ranking to see when I take my exam marks, I sample it for a second time. This is not what actually happens. And the reason that you can say this is not what happens, one is it's visual by inspection, you flash up a series of marks, and within milliseconds you can see that the scheme that they propose is not true. And it's not true once, twice, it's never true. There's never a thing which is even vaguely true. But there's no, I suppose, intelligence to tell them to trigger that it's not correct. So how do you know what they do? Well, you go to the Department of Education website and you look and you see what they do. What they do is that they take the marks provided by the school, and within reason, okay, there's some exceptions where people look in where they get crazy results in. Doesn't specify it. They will move that set of marks so that it now matches the exam marks. So you produce 70 to 100, and indeed they got 60 to 90. Okay, 60 to 90. So they'll move that 100 to the 90, and that 70 to the 60. Okay, so there is a level. Then they have the problem of the average being different. And then they will do something which is not necessarily statistically valid, but it is practical and fair. They'll apply a very simple mathematical transformation called a CHIRP. And that is the scale unit that thinks that the scale will move will change to fit between the two, but it will change such that my first unit will be about, say, 10% more, and by the last increment, it'll be 10% less So what that will do is that will actually like stretch all the marks I get from the school. So the school marks don't get reordered or anything like that, or substituted. They just get transformed or transposed to that area. So transposed is not the correct thing, but transferred across, and then they'll be stretched. And if you want to increase the average, you reduce the spacing between marks, or the metric between marks, the spacing between marks. So between marks, at high marks, you reduce it. And so what that tends to do is it tends to gather all the marks up and pushes it up and increases the average. Or if the average is lower, much lower, what it will do is tend to stretch down the marks by meaning that your first between 1 and 60, your first step up there will be reduced. Rather than 1, it will be just say 0.8, and then it will be 0.85, 0.9, and so on, such it goes across. So eventually, distribution of school marks, if you can imagine, they'll be transformed up. And if I'm holding my hand up, and the lower marks, higher marks, higher you're up, the more they'll move down, and the lower marks will pretty much stay the same, and the average will move. So this allows you to get the range and the average, and this is how it's done. Now, the question is, why couldn't you explain it that way? It's actually quite easy to explain. First off, that way, this is the idea that they're on a rubber thing, they're stretching, there's no substitution, no rank distribution. Well, the explanation is there's a process of promulgating stupidity. You have to promulgate stupidity one after the other. But you also have to introduce some busy work for teachers to do. If you produce students with the same mark, say if you have a cohort of say 30 students, and you want to all boost them up, so rather than having a full 0 to 100 to sort out, you really only have say 95 as the top, but you also want to say you're already good 75, so you've got 20 marks. And so you're going to have students sitting on the same mark. And that is really difficult. If, for instance, you've got two students of the same top mark, you're told, and have been told in training, to then go back. The system has failed, and you have to go in as a learned teacher to go in and find some other way to actually give the top student one extra mark and the bottom student and the second student one less mark to actually prize them apart. And you're told, it's a caveat, that the one thing you mustn't do, you mustn't provide a spread of people with the same mark. Now, and the reason, the effect of this is to completely invalidate the examination process, the school examination process. So it is a thing where you define how you're going to examine it, you process of it, and once the student's placed in the mark, you don't vary things. So it's not something that you can actually add bias or prejudice to afterwards. I like a student, that person has cleared my car, and he's such a good suck-up artist, and he's articulate. The other student keeps to himself and is a bit more grumpy. He's not as, or he or she's not as school spirit. I can come in and I can actually adjust that. I have now the power to adjust it. So you may as well be nice to me, because I have the special power to change your ranking at the end. Now, this ranking aspect has been a myth easily from my early time. I can remember it being explained to me in HSC English, this person came along saying, oh, look, it's going to transfer my markets to a normal distribution. And a number of people who believe they do the markets to normal distribution, I think my I had two head teachers. In fact, all teachers, head teachers I've had, believe this in-service training. Basically, there is no quality control when in-service training goes across. This is where we're going to teach the way HSC marks are graded. Do they actually send their course notes into the grading centre to find out how it's done? Indeed, they don't. They have people who really don't understand it who are put on the extraordinary mark thing. So if someone gets someone who's got a top mark, gets really nothing in the exam, they will phone up the school and say, what's going on here? Or if a whole set of people go into the exam and completely fail, they will say, let's phone up and see if there's anything wrong. So you've got a group, an enclave in this group here of teachers who really don't understand what's going on. And a lot of these people are numerically challenged. And so a number of times you will show someone a chart of what's going on and you say, and you realize that they are just staring blankly. There's nothing going on up top. So let's do a summary of it. And this is something that I've taught. So I suppose one of the things I'm putting forward is that I'm doing cognitive rehab and trying to get the juices flowing and pushing it through. So hopefully this is an interesting produce as well. But essentially you have a system which occurs throughout society where people are interested, they move from the objective has become so blasé that the art of the objective is your system to get into it. So the knowledge is now so limited that it's not knowing the knowledge, it's your attitude, it's that coaching. It's sort of like ballroom dancing, that cha-cha-cha where you dance and you remember to smile at the judges. Now, what actually happens is that they become a system advocate for a coach in a bizarre cultural practice which has very little to do with the actual getting of wisdom. And you see that people have this sort of double whammy. One is that they are taught things which are incorrect. Now, there's only actually one correct answer. There are many, many incorrect answers. So that many incorrect answers, to know the incorrect answer to teach someone is actually sacred knowledge. Then finally, you have, if that is not enough to bind you to your teacher, then your teacher has this power to feel empowered to go in and adjust your HSC mark up a little bit, down a little bit, revise it a little bit to change your ranking on the belief system that will have a dramatic effect on the overall outcome. So you have a moral belief that the student is better, and you will then, student A is better than B, A equals B, let's nudge A little bit above B afterwards. And this is said, the process is that then, of course, that gives you power. And this is why you tend to tell students this way. And they will tell you about the ranking stuff. And I've had it explained to me in earnest many times. It's a sort of a myth which has got across. And so the process for me is to learn how to do a podcast. I actually might send this off today because it might be of high enough quality. Podcast. podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.